Hello and welcome to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio with me, Michelle Hammond. Wherever you're listening from today, I hope you are super well and thank you so much for joining me. Each week, we explore where timeless wisdom meets modern research. I'm covering the ideas, therapies and conversations shaping the future of health and well-being. Today, we're exploring a therapy that's been practiced for thousands of years, yet is still so often misunderstood. For many people, massage is viewed as a luxury, an indulgence, or simply a way to relax. But what if that's only a small part of the story? An increasing body of research is demonstrating the profound effects therapeutic touch can have on our nervous system, stress response, mood, sleep, and emotional well-being. And at a time when anxiety, burnout, and loneliness are affecting millions, perhaps it's time we started asking whether massage has a far greater role to play in supporting our mental health than we've previously recognised. My guest today is someone who has made that her mission. Hayley Schnitzko is an award-winning massage therapist, educator, and the founder of the Massage for Mental Health campaign. Through her work, she's passionate about changing perceptions of massage therapy, raising awareness of its potential to support mental well-being, and giving therapists the confidence and recognition they deserve as an important part of the wider health and well-being landscape. Today, we'll explore Hayley's own journey, the inspiration behind the campaign, the evidence that's helping reshape our understanding of therapeutic touch, and why she believes massage has the power to go far beyond relaxation. Hayley, a very warm welcome to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. It's really lovely to be here.
Well, you have been doing some incredible work, and we're going to get into everything you're doing and your hopes and dreams for the future with that sort of a little bit later on. But before we do, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about your backstory. What got you into advocating for mental and emotional well-being through touch?
It's a very personal thing, actually. I mean, I've been in the industry for 20 years. So there's, you know, obviously I've worked with lots of clients from that perspective. But for me, as I say, I struggle with mental health conditions. I have, I don't talk about it too deeply, but I have a bit of childhood trauma. We'll leave it there. And the aftermath of that didn't really kick in until after I had my first child. So I had my first child, and fairly soon after that, I really struggled with my mental health, and it really just went downhill quite quickly. And I've struggled since then. So it's been, she's nearly nine now, my daughter, my beautiful daughter. So it's been a long period of time where I've really struggled, and it impacts every single area of your life. I mean, it's, you know, it's really hard to live with a mental health condition. And I remember it took me, after I had my first child, it took me a couple of years to kind of go for my first massage after that. And it was only then when I had my massage that I realized how much relief that brought me. And it actually then made me think, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how much I was struggling physically with this. So, you know, it just lightened so much up. And then I kind of, it triggered this whole learning journey for me, really. You know, and ultimately, I really learnt a lot about what I was dealing with mentally through my body. For example, when my depression's really bad, my body gets really heavy and my legs and feet hurt. That's such a big thing for me. My body becomes really slow. And then if I'm really struggling with my anxiety, I kind of find I get really tense. You know, I get those traditional shallow breathing and my shoulders hurt. I get headaches. I struggle to sleep. And so it put me on this realization, kind of put me on this path, this whole kind of, well, the physical symptoms are huge. And actually massage not only helps that, but it brings awareness to that as well. And so that was all kind of playing in my mind. And then it was 2021, and we were in lockdown. And then I wasn't really on social media. I didn't really do any of that. And I thought, well, actually, everyone else is on social media now. So I kind of joined. And then I was fortunate. I won my first award at BABTAT. So I won Mobile Therapist of the Year. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to make the most of this. And then I launched the mental health campaign, which was Massage for Mental Health. I'm going to be honest, I was new to the industry. I didn't really expect too much. I didn't really expect too much attention from it, to be honest. I thought, well, I'll just kind of be a small voice in the background. And it just, from the get-go, it was absolutely huge. I mean, it just, in the sense that it resonated with so many people. And so, of course, I launched the campaign and the goal was, right, well, this is, you know, I really want to talk about this. I want to talk about the impact that massage and therapeutic touch can have on mental health in the physical point of view and then ultimately the emotional point of view, you know, and talk about actually this would be amazing to have as a treatment option. And I think whilst that was my goal, I was still really working out what that looked like. But it was definitely a two-way approach. So there was more of the industry side, and then obviously the consumer client side. And so a lot of the work I've been doing is more industry side. So lots of training, lots of talks, to really bring awareness to everything that we do, how that impacts our clients and our own mental health as well. And I've done a lot. I'm kind of starting to do a lot more talking around kind of the client side, you know, how you can, you know, notice those physical symptoms and, you know, how you can use massage and therapeutic touch to help that. So,
yeah, amazing. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, sometimes the best trainings are curated through past experience and through sort of journeying and that recognition for yourself of how valuable touch was. So you were already a therapist at this point, though. You'd already trained as a complementary therapist and were in practice?
Yes, yeah, I've been a therapist. I did two years, I qualified in 2008. So, I mean, by this point, 14 years I've been a therapist. Is that right? 2008 to 2022. I think that's 14 years. So yes, I'd already been a therapist, yes.
And so you said, obviously, you had your own sort of mental health struggles. What other things had you tried? What sort of advice were you getting? Where were people trying to navigate you to? Or was it something you were just holding close to your chest and not sharing? Because we know there's still a massive taboo, isn't there? Even though people are now more encouraged to talk about it, people still worry about the consequences, particularly when they've got young children or big fancy job titles.
Yeah, I didn't tell anyone for a while because of that. I mean, the taboo around it. I was already navigating the struggle, but then on top of that, this anxiety around, you know, what, you know, are they going to take my kids from me? Because I'm struggling with depression. And it sounds so stupid when you say it out loud, but when you're there and you're in it and you actually believe that, I mean, the fear is huge. So it's, yes, definitely. It took me a while. And then I think it got to the point where I thought, okay, I need to go to the doctors because I cannot function on a day-to-day basis. And so I went to the doctors and then their first thing was antidepressants. So that was kind of their first point of call, really. So it's kind of like straight onto the antidepressants. And that was it, really. There was no kind of mention around. I mean, they spoke a bit about the talking therapies, but that was it. It was the antidepressants and off you go type thing.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And you know, we haven't got long enough on this episode to delve into kind of all the rights and wrongs of that.
No.
But it is interesting, isn't it, that actually, you know, we're still very much governed in health in the Western sort of world of pills and procedure of being that kind of first line of defense. And we're often, one, there's not enough exploration of what's going on, how you're feeling and why you might be feeling it, looking at the support you might have and trying to signpost you within the support infrastructure you might already have. And also then, yes, advocating for integrative therapies and other ways people can kind of learn practical tools or sort of access practical resources to help themselves. So when you went for that sort of massage that made you recognize, actually, this is helping. This is what I needed. This is helping me come out of my head and into my body and recognize where this cycle can be broken. Was that something you then kept up regularly? Was that something that then became a kind of lifeline for you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have it more often than I do with the kids at the time, but absolutely, I definitely keep it up regularly as I can. It really helps, you know, especially on those days where you think, oh my goodness, I just need some touch. I need something. So yeah, definitely an integrative approach for me now.
Yeah. And how did you find that as a therapist? Because I have been a judge for the World Spiral Awards for years historically, and I've had the fortune of having treatments in sort of every country, every continent. And there is a lot of mediocre massage out there. So there's the principles of touch being absolutely integral to our needs and that basic need for human connection, let alone the incredibly evidence-based therapeutic aspects of it. But there is also a lot of mediocre, isn't there? And a lot of people worry that, you know, they're going to sort of places and they're not going to get a therapist who can understand them, relate to them, or necessarily meet them where they are. And it can often feel a little bit cold and disconnected. How did you find that with the therapist? Was this a therapist you'd worked with before and had sought out deliberately for the kind of type of training she did or the type of treatments she offered?
The initial massage I had, actually, it was just a spa day massage, because I went on a spa day with some friends. Actually, they'd organized a spa day, and it was a nice massage. I mean, I've had many different massages. I mean, not as fortunate as yourself, having massages all around the world. I mean, that'd be amazing. I've had, you know, different experiences. You can definitely feel when, how can I word this? You can definitely feel when, you know, the massage therapist is really kind of, is doing it with a purpose, if that makes sense, as opposed to just doing it because that's what they're there to do that day. But yeah, she was brilliant. She was really good. You know, everything was right. You know, the pressure and, you know, the routine. The room was nice, the environment. So it was lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it, isn't it? It has incredible power, and it doesn't need a lot, does it, to be put right and to tune, whether that's the individual, the space, or the sensory sort of experience. Hold that thought. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, where we were talking with the wonderful Hayley Schnishko. Let's jump right back in. When you decided to launch the Massage for Mental Health campaign, tell me about, you said obviously you were just thinking about kind of being this kind of smaller voice in the background and just advocating based on how it had resonated with you. What was the feedback? How has that kind of transpired since launching Massage for Mental Health?
So I think it was a lot of therapists. I mean, so many, even now therapists still reach out to me and they resonate with it in that they see it in their own clients. You know, I'm by no means the only person who understands, you know, how impactful massage can be on mental health. I think any therapist who works and is passionate about their massage, all of them are. They know, they see it every day. And I think that's what really resonated with them. And I think, with massage, I think it's always been known, but I think having that specific, not title, that's probably not the right word, but having that specific kind of, what am I looking for here? Having that specific kind of goal, I suppose, in mind is probably the right word. I think really made people think, yes, this is what it is. It kind of put a name to it. And that was, yes, this is what I see in my practice every single day. And, you know, I think a lot of, you know, I've worked with companies like Sedesco, done things with Babtac and obviously Spa Life and Talks. And I think the bigger companies also recognize it through the work and the education that they're doing. So I think the Massage for Mental Health campaign kind of packaged massage up for what everyone's been doing for years and just kind of put that name to it, and that was it. So many therapists really thought, yeah, this is what I've been doing and this is what I think is really important.
Yeah, do you know, and it adds such an incredible credibility to what we do, doesn't it? Because actually it's often diminished as pampering and indulgence, and although yes, for some people that has definitely been the route they've took, but even if we approached it from a pampering and indulgence perspective, the actual physical and emotional benefits of having a touch-led treatment are highly evidenced. And so talk to me about some of the evidence that you've uncovered since launching Massage for Mental Health and some of the ways you've been able to prove and lead the charge with it being more than just pampering and indulgence and having a much more scientific and evidence-led benefit which then makes it more appealing, doesn't it, to be valuable.
I think I'm careful when I say prove. I think with the research around this, it needs to evolve. Like, there is definitely research there. There needs to be more investment into the research. But there is lots of research that we can look at the moment. And I think there's one that I reference a lot, and it's by H. Trivedi. And he talks about the physical symptoms, which I think is integral to the campaign, because it's the physical symptoms that impact somebody on such a kind of a large scale. And he looked at some of the physical symptoms that were associated with mental health conditions. And it was those things like neck and shoulder pain, headaches, jaw tension, shallow breathing, chest pain, and all of these different things that were commonly associated with mental health conditions. And he found that those people who had just a kind of a mental aspect, so we're talking about talking therapies and tablets, etc., if they just had this approach to their treatment care, they were, and not kind of the physical symptom approach, they were 3 times more likely to relapse back into that state of whatever they were into, whether that's depression or anxiety, than those who had the physical symptoms addressed. And I love it. I mean, it's such a great study. I do reference it all the time because it really highlights how physical symptoms do impact someone who's struggling with a mental health condition. And yes, the tablets and the talking therapies are so incredibly important, but to be able to use things like massage therapies alongside it, they're more likely to not regress back into that state years down the line. So I think that's such an important piece of research to talk upon. As I say, those physical symptoms are really at the heart of the campaign itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great flag, isn't it, for integrative therapy, that actually, as a psychologist myself, it's really important we address the root cause issue. And often that does involve talking and trying to understand and have people learn to articulate what's gone on for them in a safe space, in a space where there's no consequence for sharing that and there's no repercussions within their family or friendship unit. And that can be at a pace and at a rhythm that's sort of right for them. But actually, what we definitely know, especially at the beginning stages of traumas or heightened levels of anxiety, is people struggle to articulate. People struggle to articulate where they're at. And that takes time and trust. And actually, kind of what I call non-invasive, and I don't mean just those that break the skin or sort of a penetrative, but the non-invasive complementary therapies, the massage, the aromatherapy, the reflexology, even things like auricular acupuncture or acupuncture generally, and all of these treatments have an opportunity to kind of help rebalance the nervous system and get people into a place where they feel more comfortable. And then actually, that if that therapist is working hand in hand with another integrative complementary therapist, they refer or co-treat, or if that individual has the skill set themselves to develop it. It's a beautiful starting point, isn't it? And I've definitely seen that with my practice. I get a lot of people in for acupuncture who actually are coming for psycho-emotional reasons, but it's easier and they feel more confident to go, I've got digestive issues, I'm not sleeping, I've got a bad shoulder. And then it's only with time where they go, can I also talk to you about some childhood trauma? Can I also talk to you about the way I'm feeling? Because that safety bit is massively important, isn't it? And actually, we often can refer or feel quite safe with our massage therapist really quite quickly because it's non-intimidating. I'm not just sat opposite in quite a interview or formal sort of setting with an expectation, even though potentially I'm, you know, got a lot of my clothes off on the couch. How have you found that in the kind of treatment setting yourself? Because you still work in practice too, which I think is a really important part of any trainer's arsenal. How have you seen your developing knowledge, understanding and appreciation translate into how you better support your clients now as a result?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm much more aware of a lot of things. I think I'm much more aware of, firstly, obviously, my clients. So I'm able to watch them and notice things in different ways that I hadn't before. Not just, you know, what they're saying and what they're telling me, but how they're telling me, what their body language is saying, you know, what I'm looking for on the massage table. I can notice if a client, if they come in and they're in a state of fight or flight, for example, I can actually notice signs of that on the massage table. So that translates then into, okay, so I need to now help my client get into that state of rest and digest. And so I have a kind of whole arsenal of things that I use to help with that, lots of sensory integrations. So there's that point of view. Also understanding the mechanics behind muscle tone. And I actually spoke about this at Spa Life, how increased muscle tone through that overprotective nervous system can cause things like muscular tension and muscular pain, and the approach to that. So that no pain, no gain myth where, you know, massage has to hurt or be uncomfortable for it to be effective, and how actually that's completely not relevant for clients who are struggling. And actually, so changing my approach, you know, how I work on those muscles has changed, so it's more effective. And also how I am. So I've really noticed a lot of things as well about the therapeutic relationships and the relationships you have with your clients. I've learned a lot. I think it's a real understanding of what my boundaries are. It sounds strange to say I knew what my boundaries were, but it's small things like as a massage therapist, you know, you feel like we want to care for all our clients, and our clients come in and they're telling us all their life stories and telling us all these problems. And that's wonderful. And before, I really found myself just wanting to listen, and I had this kind of thing, oh, I wish I could help, and I wanted to fix, and I wanted to do this. But I think this has also really made me realize, as a therapist who struggles with mental health conditions, it's made me learn to recognize when I'm starting to kind of overemphasize with my clients. And actually, I need to come back a bit. I need to stay in my kind of training, and I need to concentrate on my client's physical well-being. So it's really made me look after myself in a different way, which ultimately really helps my clients, because I'm there on a deeper level with the physical work that I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such an important point, Hayley, isn't it? It's this industry, the complementary therapy industry, attracts such caring and giving individuals who are naturally very compassionate, very empathetic. And the risk is that therapists burn out. One, because they may not get the support they need within the infrastructure and the environment they're working, whether that's because they're working in isolation in a cabin in their garden, or because they're working in sort of a spa environment or salon environment where they, you know, it's just not enough time and attention has been given to their well-being. But it's a lot to hold space for, isn't it? And people always say to me, you know, well, you juggle a lot, but I'm like, actually, I juggle a variety under the health and wellbeing banner, but actually I'm in practice one-to-one just a couple of days a week. That's a deliberate choice, because actually I think it's near impossible to hold space full-time for other people and live a life, you know, when you've got responsibilities and roles and whatnot, without a huge infrastructure of support. But I think a lot of therapists struggle, and a lot of people in any type of caring profession struggle with boundaries, struggle with how to do it, and not to kind of be cold or disconnected, but to learn how to protect themselves in a safe way while still being able to care and give. And so is your teaching kind of helping therapists do that? That's part of your teaching, right? To kind of enable therapists to learn those skills.
Yes, yeah. A lot of the work I do, because I have a course, online course, that is called The Therapeutic Connection. It's about, you know, it's about massage and mental health, but the heart of it, which is section three, it's the biggest part, it's actually in three sections because it's so big, is the therapeutic relationship. I took Haslow's Hierarchy of Needs, and I developed something similar for our industry. So what clients need to achieve that mental well-being, that positive mental well-being after their treatments. So it's really structured to understand our role as a therapist and how we impact our clients, how our clients impact us. So yeah, that's a lot of what I do, that, and obviously understanding how mental health can impact us physically as well, and how massage can help with that too. And actually, I'll come back onto your point. This is not relevant to this question, but you say about clients get stuck in your head when you get stuck in your head. And this is another reason why massage is so amazing. Obviously, I struggle with mental health. We've spoken about this, but one of the things when I get stuck in a loop, or I get stuck in a spiral quite often, and I get so caught up in my head, and there's so much going on, the only way I can describe it is lots of fear and pain and anxiety, and there's a thousand and one thoughts of just so much. And if someone said to me, how are you? I wouldn't be able to answer that. And so, you know, I then don't say I'm struggling. I'm saying, I'm fine. Because I can't find the words. It's so hard to find those words to articulate how you're actually feeling and how much you're struggling. It's so hard. And I think that's one of the reasons it is so hard to ask for help, because sometimes you don't know what you're asking for, because you don't know. I just don't know where to start. And that's why massage is amazing, because it takes that, it takes you from your head. If you do the consultation right with your clients, you can really give them a place to focus. So you can sit your client down and you say, right, okay, you know, talk to me, what's going on physically? You know, and then it makes them, and if you do, for example, like I do sometimes with the clients, like do a body scan in the consultation, and it highlights areas to them they haven't thought, oh, actually, do you know, that's that, I'm struggling with that. And actually, oh, you know, that's hurting. And then suddenly they're stuck in their head, but now they're not. They're kind of focusing on their body and then thinking, right, they're almost having a bit of a kind of, okay, right, here we go. And it just that's why massage is so amazing, because do you know what? When you struggle so much with your mental health, sometimes you just don't have the words. And having that physical approach, it can make such a difference. That you said that earlier, and I just kind of wanted to get that in there, because yeah, it's so important.
Well, it's such a common thread actually for kind of all the clients I see in clinic, whether it's from childhood abuse and physical trauma or emotional trauma, coercive relationships, anxiety, phobias, whatever. There's an underlying thread of rumination, and that constant replay or the suppression of, and the kind of busying to not have to think about it or address it and trying to kind of hide the monster in the closet sort of mentality, as a form of protection and sort of, you know, often rightly so, until someone feels safe enough to do it. And so I think that's the power with physical touch, isn't it? As we have an opportunity to help people feel safe enough, not necessarily to let the monster out of the closet there and then, but to feel safe enough to just sit with it and acknowledge it without trying to need to fix it, and just coming out of the head and slowing down those loops and those patterns. And so without much articulation and without much sharing, the power of therapeutic touch is absolutely incredible for that, isn't it? And I think that is a common thread. And of course, we're living in a mental health crisis, aren't we? We have from little ones right the way up to elderly, whether it's through self-harming and suicidal ideation, or, you know, people feeling chronically lonely and disconnected. You know, people are struggling with a variety of mental illnesses more now than ever at any other time. And although we feel that there's more opportunities to talk about it, actually a lot of people worry about being pigeonholed. And I've worked with a lot of people in workplaces, as with a lot of mums, who, as you said, worry about their children being taken off them, or the consequences of how that makes them look as a parent, and societal expectations on that. But a lot of people just in their workplaces also go, well, if I expose this, is there a consequence to my promotion, to my inclusion into that project or meeting and whatnot? And I'm still not sure we've kind of got that right, because we keep thinking of mental illness as something that just happens when we kind of hit a bit, rather than actually we all go through ebbs and flows of health challenges. And actually maybe it's a little bit more normal and part of the human condition.
Yeah.
How have you found that? Because not only have you banged this drum for therapists to help them realise the power they hold and how much more incredible connection they can have with their clients and support they can offer their clients, you've also took this out into the community. I know you've recently lobbied your MP as well. How has that gone, going into, you know, sort of a non-complementary therapy field and sort of sharing this message? How has that been received? Hold that thought. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, where I was talking with the wonderful Hayley Schnisko. So let's jump straight back in.
Really well, actually. Yeah, it really, really resonated with a lot of people. And you know, I did talk about my MP. He invited me to a health fair, to have a stand at a health fair he was organising. So I did that. And it was obviously lots of members of the public were there. And I remember there was this one chap. So obviously I had, you know, my stand, and I had a poster with a picture of a body on it and stickers. And I was asking people to put, you know, put a sticker where you feel it the most. So I had like a beautiful visual representation as such. And I was chatting with one chap, and he just kind of opened up, and he was talking. He just said, I really struggle with my mental health, and, you know, and it got him talking. And then he thought, oh, actually, no, I do. I get my neck hurts all the time. And there was a lot of similar stories. You know, a lot of people they thought, actually, they'd never thought about it like that. They'd never thought about the physical symptoms of a mental health. They'd never, ever put two and two together. And they're there, you can see them there in real time thinking, oh, yeah, I've not thought about that before. That's true. It was the same for me. You know, when I went for that massage, and I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't realize. Obviously, being a therapist and very much body based, for me, I was able to then continue that and, I can say, help others realize that as well. So, yeah, it's been really great to kind of help other people, really, because I think understanding, or they say awareness is the biggest part, isn't it? Awareness is the hardest part, the best part, and it's true. I think if we can understand what our body is telling us, we can then put the right self-care in place. Like I say, I know if I wake up and I'm struggling with depression because my body feels a certain way. So I know, right, okay, I've got depression today. So actually my depression's bad. So do you know what? I'm going to take it easy because I need this day and, you know, to look after myself. So yeah, it's been great to help people realize and understand themselves a bit better.
Yeah, amazing. And from that kind of interaction with community and of course with your client base and stuff as well, have you seen or witnessed an increase in people then seeking massage or touch-based therapies as part of their solution or practical sort of support kit?
Yeah, interestingly, I've had quite a few people on Instagram, and it's not just therapists that follow me. I have obviously a lot of non-therapists, and quite a few people have said, actually, do you know what? I've now booked a massage for this because I've realised that. So that's really nice. And of course, you know, some of my clients know the work that I do, and I think, I mean, the clients that I see are very much, you know, massage is a part of their lifestyle anyway. So I've always beaten that drum with them. So they do it regularly anyway. But a lot of my clients, a few of them have said, you know, actually, until you've been talking about it, I've just realised actually how I feel during a massage and how much it helps me. So it has brought realisation to my clients. And as I say, people who've seen me online talk about it have then gone and booked their own treatments and messaged me and said, oh my goodness, I didn't realise how amazing this would be. So, yeah, it's really good.
Amazing. And I think that's what's so beautiful about touch-led treatment, isn't it? Is it's really experiential as well as intellectual. So, yes, there's a lot of theory and lots of emerging evidence. And, of course, touch being one of the long-standing interactions between one human to another that we have in our arsenal. And it's a human need. It's something that we physically need to feel safe and stable is safe and considered touch. And so to be able to encourage and empower more people to reconnect with that, because I think particularly in the West, we've become quite conservative, haven't we? I'm trying to be kind. And so as a result, you know, we often, I mean, we've seen in school systems, haven't we, you know, where a lot of teachers over the last sort of 15, 20 years have not been allowed to hug or hold children if they fall, and all of this kind of separation. And of course, I understand some of the logic and thought behind that. But of course, what it does is empowers the generations that have gone after to think that touch is something that has to either be sexualized or is something for intimacy in some way or another. And it's such an important part of our communication, isn't it? And our ability to regulate. How have you overcome some of those kind of prejudice and sort of...
I think I've spoken about it quite a lot. A professional beauty did an article on the happy ending culture. And so they interviewed me and did ask a few questions around that. And I spoke about that. And again, that brought a lot of kind of therapists forward talking about their own stories of things that have happened. And it is just about talking about the attached stigma to it and saying, do you know what, this isn't right. But also talking about the amazing things about massage. And I think that's where all of this can help. Education to the to the clients, and helping therapists to articulate that, put that in a kind of a way that they can teach their clients about it. It all just comes from talking about it, highlighting the issue, and then saying, well, actually, this is an issue, but do you know what? It's not that. This is what massage is. This is what touch is. This is what it's doing to our clients. And yeah, so that's all we can keep doing, talking about it and bringing attention, to it, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's advocating for all of its kind of health benefits, isn't it? And the health benefits, because actually, if we stay silent in that, then actually all people hear is the kind of the negative. It's like anything, isn't it? We've got to bang the drum for the positive and the solutions and the integrity behind what it is we do. So what's the future, Hayley? I mean, obviously, you've got an incredible report coming out. You did some great research and work for us for the Spa Life Conference, where you presented to sort of industry a deeper sort of session on sort of supporting mental and emotional well-being through touch. You've got a great survey with some lovely sort of thoughts and feedback from therapists, both newly qualified and experienced. You're still lobbying and kind of flying that flag for those sort of evidence-based benefits. What do you want to see moving forward? How do you see this kind of evolving, and how can other people kind of help and support you in that mission?
There's so much to it, to be honest. I mean, obviously, the ultimate goal is always to have massage therapy, probably through social prescribing. That would be the ultimate goal. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see, I would love to see those people who need to, like the NHS and social prescribing and the government, recognise, firstly, the power of massage. I'd love to see that have its recognition that it deserves. But I think with that comes an awful lot. It's not just like one thing. Again, it comes back to, there's a two-pronged approach. You've got the industry approach, and then, of course, you have the consumer approach. So for me, at the moment, I'd say I'm very much industry approach. So, I'm just trying to talk about it, education as much as possible, highlighting the therapeutic relationship and the science behind it and whatnot. So that's kind of really what I'm pushing at the moment. I'm going to continue to do that, and I will always continue to do that as long as I'm able to. And then, of course, you have the consumer side. So really, highlighting what the physical symptoms can look like in mental health conditions. I think that's really important, because if they can't resonate with what you're talking about, you'll never create that change. So it's about helping them to resonate, firstly. So again, that comes through education, teaching therapists to educate their clients about it, after their treatments, for example, is a small way to do that. But, educating the public on the physical symptoms, how massage can help. So that's really where I'm just still pushing at the moment. And I'm just going to keep going. As I say, I'm just one person, but, hopefully if I push hard enough, we could get that social prescribing on board, which would be amazing.
Yeah, and I think actually part of that also comes from consumer demand, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so actually, as the consumer's more educated and they are going forward and having more touch-led treatments and are recommending them or feeding that back of how that's supporting them and the way that's supporting them, both that sort of two-pronged approach supports that drive forward, doesn't it? As more consumers. And it as a solution, as a remedy, as a referral. I know there's work to do in standardising training and associations and awarding bodies, which makes it difficult for government or the NHS to hook into, because, of course, there's too many and they're too sort of diluted. And it's a much easier drum to bang when there's one voice and united sort of voice. But I think even with the massive associations and awarding bodies we've got, if everyone is on the same page with how they're advocating for that, and you've done a great job at being able to kind of be a voice for those, some of those associations as well, and just banging the door for those social prescribers who are looking, actually, we've seen it with nature, haven't we? I mean, nature has been one of those things that, from day dawn, we resonate with and is an important part of our sense of well-being and place. But because of the evidence that's come behind it now, it's included in the social prescribing and actually just need a bit more funding. And maybe that's something that professional associations and larger sort of brands and suppliers can maybe put some money behind helping. Actually, it's within all of our interests, isn't it, to sort of see that evidence and research and actually it's likely to only come from within.
Yes, exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, it needs to sort of happen. Hayley, yeah. We could talk about this all day, I know.
Yes.
passionate to both of our hearts. But I just think the work that you've done is incredible. And I love the way that you're communicating it and the way that you're advocating for it and encouraging both the practitioner and the clients to just recognize its power. So well done for everything you do, and long may it continue. And a huge thank you for coming on and chatting to me about it on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And obviously briefly touched upon the survey. So obviously that is in association with you. So thank you so much. The results are amazing. Well, you've seen them, and we've had a little sneak peek. So yeah. Looking forward to kind of releasing that. But no, thank you. Thank you for having me and supporting.
You are more than welcome. And we'll put, for those of you listening, we'll put all of Hayley's details. You can check Hayley out at hayleyschnishko.com. But we'll put all of those details and Hayley's social handles and access to the report once it's available across our socials and, of course, on the UK Health Radio station too. So do check those out and connect and learn more, because there's lots more to learn and delve into. Hayley, thank you once again.
Thank you.
As always, my sincere thanks to this week's guest, the wonderful Hayley Schnishko, for joining me today and for sharing not only her knowledge, but also her passion and unwavering commitment to helping raise awareness of the role massage therapy can play in supporting mental and emotional well-being. If today's conversation has shown us anything, it's that perhaps it's time we stopped thinking of massage as a simple luxury or an occasional treat and started recognizing it for what it can truly be, a powerful therapeutic intervention that helps people feel calmer, safer, more connected, and better able to navigate the challenges of modern life. As science continues to validate what many traditional healing practices have understood for centuries, we're reminded once again that some of our oldest therapies may still have an important place in the future of healthcare. If you'd like to learn more about Hayley's work, the Massage for Mental Health campaign, or the education and training she offers to therapists and organisations, please visit hayleyschnishko.com. And remember, if you're a complementary healthcare practitioner looking to deepen your understanding of how to better support clients living with chronic health challenges, from cancer, diabetes and dementia to complex long-term conditions, you can also explore the growing range of evidence-informed professional education available through TPOT Education at tpot.org.uk. That's tpot.org.uk. And if you're looking for personalised one-to-one support for your own physical, mental or emotional well-being, I'd be delighted to welcome you. And you can find out more and connect with me via my personal website at michellehammond.co.uk. Thank you so much again for joining me for another episode of Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science here on UK Health Radio. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.